It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remind him that we're going to go ahead and have him on. That seems like something a responsible person would do. Meanwhile, you guys can win a pair of tickets to see the Cavs take on the Pacers Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Get registered to win by entering the word, let's see, scroll on the way down here. This is totally a great way to do it. Moon, M-O-O-N, at 923thefan.com. By the end of our show, get registered. It's all from Cleveland, from the Cleveland Cavaliers and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Something might want to overthink, rethink, or underthink any of the things, really, how we do that, because that was a pain in the butt to read. That's not really a shot
fired. Is it because they put like all the words there and you have to figure out which one's your time?
Yeah, it feels like it might be easier to do that by day instead of having to scroll down to Friday at the end of the week. But I'm not complaining. I am complaining. Did you watch Thursday Night Football last night?
I caught some bits and pieces. I was sort of more in tune with the Mets, Brewers? Yeah, Brewers game. That was coming on. I forgot.
Clearly very in tune.
No, I was...
The Mets and that other team.
That other team that plays baseball in Milwaukee. No, yeah, I was paying more attention to that, and then I jumped over to the football game a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was working on some stuff, so I wasn't like completely in tune with it. It was a good game, though.
You know what, though? Real quick on that. So it really wasn't. Can we get a happy medium?
It was a good ending, I should say.
Yeah, no. That's fair. But like through most of the game, I was watching it, and it was like massive cushion coverage. So it was like the easiest like 15-yard completions. Like honestly, it felt like, so everybody's complained about how ugly these games have looked and how bad offenses have looked. We swung the pendulum.
So Nick
in the Hayes opposite.
Scoring is this?
No. But it is. There, this was
only person who watches football who wants a real defensive brouhaha on
this
screen.
No. That football is ugly. But this is just as ugly. There was no tackling, missed tackles everywhere, cushion coverage. It was honestly like, it was like 7-on-7s. That's what it looked like.
But you know what makes that look pretty? When a bunch of drives end in touchdowns. Then you forget about all the, you're like, oh, there was a lot of missed tackles on the drive. But hey, there was a touchdown, and they're going back and forth, and then a team wins in overtime.
No.
So that's exciting football to me.
No, I got it. So it just wasn't pretty football
for
most of the game.
If both teams suck, if both teams are missing tackles and both teams are having the same problems, to me, that's a good football game. It's not like the Browns where it looks like just one team is really struggling at these things. When both teams are doing that and it leads to a lot of scoring, that's exciting.
I actually don't think both teams suck. I think both teams were gassed. I think you saw the schedule catch up to teams for the first time on Thursday Night Football. And I actually will give you...
I think most of these Thursday games have been pretty bad, actually.
I actually think we've had better matchups in Thursday Night Football.
They have had better matchups, but I don't think any of the games have been that good.
So that's not really where we're going, but I'll disagree with you just at a point. But I think your point is true that at least we got some offense last night. And I'll be honest, I was kind of blown away that Baker only had like 180 yards passing last night. He did have 3 touchdowns. I thought it was over 200. I thought it was up closer to 250. So when I saw Kirk Cousins passed for 500 yards plus and Baker passed for 180, I was like, I felt like you during the Mets and the whoever game. I was like, wait. I swear I saw more yards out of Baker.
So, real quick, tell me how many of these games you found exciting. Buffalo beating Miami 31-10 in week 2. That was an exciting game
matchup
for you? Good matchup. That was the game where Tua literally had his like 20th concussion and they were getting blown out beforehand. New England versus the Jets, which the Jets won 24
But those three. those are divisional matchups, even though the games
suck. Yeah, I'm not saying the matchups weren't good. I said the games were terrible.
Let's get back to this thing because we don't have all show because we got just a little bit of time here. The narrative that bugs me coming off last night is, and it's a narrative that's been brewing a long time. I don't know where this. I think it's us protecting ourselves from our fears and from our frustrations. And I think there's a couple things other at play. The match or the narrative coming out that Baker would not have done this in Cleveland might be the most disingenuous narrative I've heard. And I've heard media members trumpet this. I've heard fans trumpet this. I think it is the biggest amount of crap that I've heard. And some of that is letting the team off the hook for running Baker, the most successful quarterback we had had in Cleveland since Bernie or Vinny, however you want to dial it up, running him out of town. If you say that, you're letting them off the hook. This idea, this one-sided revisionist history that Baker is the only reason Baker isn't here, I'm not saying he didn't need to be humbled. I'm not saying that he didn't have his head up his ass just a little bit or maybe a lot of bit. But what I'm saying is to hear people explain away, well, he couldn't have done that here. He quite literally did that here. He had a bad season in which he played hurt. Everybody got butt hurt, lost perspective, and ran the guy out of town. So while I'm not trying to say Baker was faultless, this narrative of people saying, you know what, he wouldn't have done it here. He quite literally did. Then he had a bad season, acted a little pouty, and people use things like, well, Myles Garrett, no, like him, to go ahead and run the guy out of town.
I just think the perspective is what's important to have here. Because, like, yes, I don't ever talk about Baker where it's like, well, he would have never done that here. Because to your point, he did have that type of success here. And that last season he was hurt. We don't know what that could have been if he doesn't hurt the shoulder, if things would have gone differently, whatever. I've never once thought that he couldn't be this quarterback here because I think we saw the early happenings of that with Kevin Stefanski that first year that they were together. And I mean it was you know, sweet symphony music. Like it was a beautiful thing to watch, and it was fun to see this quarterback that everybody seemed to rally around.
It's now first a bittersweet symphony.
Wait, what?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you're using the actual
verve song. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry. Brought it right to a yeah, you were
I was on a roll,
there.
And then keep you just you screwed it up.
You're like, buddy, you're on a roll, baby. Keep going.
Anyway, so yeah, like I believe that he could have been that quarterback here. I do though think that like the context of how things fell apart matters, because I there's a lot of people who are like, they go the opposite direction with the argument, and they're like, well, they throw their hands up and they're like, see, we should have just kept Baker. But I don't think that it was ever that simple that they could have just kept Baker. Maybe on the surface it looks that way. But if you know more about like what went on behind the scenes and all the things that we've heard about how he was viewed in the locker room and all this, like if that was truly perpetuated into a problem, and he has since talked about he needed to mature a little bit as well on his end of things.
How much time did they give him to reclaim the locker room after they cut Odell Beckham Jr., after holding on to him because they wanted to try and recoup trade value, and then released him after the trade deadline out of desperation? By the way, after Baker's shoulder was hurt.
I'm not saying we have reason to trust this front office or organization for a lot over the years, but in this instance, I do trust them enough to understand like what the vibes were like in that locker room.
No,
like,
come on. I mean, that is such a team-friendly thing.
But I'm being serious, though, man.
They didn't draft him. Kevin clearly couldn't handle Baker's personality. There's so many things here that if you're saying, well, the Browns made the right... No, the Browns talked themselves into being desperate. They got nothing for the guy who had been the best quarterback since 1989. And now the guy's playing the way they said he couldn't play, and the guy they traded for, we're talking about low-hanging fruit. Well, okay, he passed for 187 yards, but if that touchdown hadn't been called back, he would have finally gotten over 200 yards.
I don't think that the organization, though, is saying that he couldn't have played at that level. I think they felt he could after that first year with Stefanski. You just laid it out. Like they clearly saw that type of play that first year they were together. So I don't think it was about they don't think they can get that play out of Baker.
Then why did they move on from Baker?
I think they thought they felt like they needed even better quarterback play. I think they were like big fish hunting. They were like, or big game hunting. Those are two different phrases.
I like hunting big fish and I like fishing big hunts.
I think they were big game hunting where they were like, yeah, Baker's good and we feel like we can do a lot with him, but I also think we can get better. And then Deshaun was the big fish of that class that was going to be a free agent. It was like, let's go do this thing, which is why I've never blamed them for the act of trying to upgrade the quarterback position. It's just maybe who they brought in his place.
So just real quick, because we're keeping that perspective in mind, they made the decision to move off of Baker, and then they went after Deshaun. How do I remember this? Because there was the adult in the room tweet or report or whatever that was. There was a report. And then they had sealed the fate. We're done with Baker. That was after they got excluded from the conversation with Deshaun. Remember? That adult in the room thing came out right in the window between Deshaun saying, I'm not going to Cleveland, and Deshaun miraculously, when $230 million guaranteed showed up on his doorstep, suddenly did that.
So but that's the thing. When you have a $230 million guarantee in your back pocket, maybe they knew that no matter who they pursued, they were going to be able to convince him to come here. If they went into that fight and they were like, we have this ace in our sleeve of we are going to go all in on getting one of these guys, maybe they weren't worried about what it was going to look like without Baker Mayfield. Like they felt confidently they were going to get one of these guys.
So was it the locker room or was it Deshaun?
Well, that was point number two. I think that they both thought that – I think it was on two fronts. I think they believed that they needed to upgrade the position, or they wanted to upgrade the position at least somewhat better than Baker, even though they had success with him. And I do think that there was this internal conflict in the locker room where clearly the locker room was split on him. And if they didn't think they could salvage that, they didn't think they could salvage that. I really am not trying to make an excuse for the organization.
Well, no, because this isn't even about why they moved on from Baker. This is about the revisionist history that is, well, he wouldn't have done that here. Literally, he did that, played hurt, had a bad season, acted like a jagaloon. I'm not going to defend the personal behavior. But teams all the time, we act as if guys waltz into the NFL at quarterback at 21 years old and are mature. The Browns failed Baker in having, what was it, 5 offensive coordinators in 5 seasons. The Browns failed Baker by doing the thing of, well, we're going to make you sing for your supper. We're not going to give you stability, which then probably put more emphasis on him playing through the injury. And then because they didn't draft him and because I don't think they knew how to handle his personality, it became, well, we got to get an adult in the room and you traded for this. I'm not trying to hammer the trade. I get it that a lot of teams in the NFL, if not all of them, face value would take Deshaun over Baker when the trade was made. But this new thing of, well, Baker wouldn't have done that here. The same people uttering that are the people who bought hook, line, and sinker, the hooey that was sold by the organization that, oh, well, this is all on Baker, and Baker's divisive in the locker room. Okay, then change the locker room. When you have a quarterback, you change the locker room. You don't change the quarterback. And then you've spent the last 3 years in the quarterbackless abyss. Well, 2 years in the quarterbackless abyss. I'm not trying to be a Baker homer on this, but specifically the narrative that I think is
secretly
crap.
a closet Baker bro over here.
Not so closeted. The thing that I hate is this narrative. If you want to say, hey, they made the trade. Fine. But if you want to say Baker couldn't have done this, he had done this in the midst of massive instability, and they used the crap they put him through the first 3 years to then be like, well, he can't do it. He did. When he finally got stability, he did. When he was healthy here, the last 2 years, he was pretty damn good.
And again, I'm not the people saying that I'm not part of the group of people that are saying he couldn't have done that here. I'm just saying I do think there were reasons why they moved on. And it's not like, Nick, we haven't seen other players here and elsewhere around the NFL that just aren't a fit with a team. And they move off of those players. I get maybe it's not at the quarterback position, but like Jadeveon Clowney comes to mind. That was a personality that the second time he came back, started ruffling some feathers. They didn't jive with that. They got him out of here. I think this happens more often than we think. And if he just wasn't a fit and you felt like you had to sort of salvage things within the team, I get why they chose that path on some level.
Would this Baker Mayfield have been possible in Cleveland? Jim Costa of The Ticket in Detroit next on 92.3 The Fan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.